Beloved congregation, with the help of the Lord, I will preach the Word of God this evening, and I will do that by using the Heidelberg Catechism. Lord's Day 17, like we have been reading, question 45 and the answer. The theme of the sermon is the prophet from the resurrection. The prophet from the resurrection. It happened, congregation, that there was a man who was doing his work, and he was using, children, he was using a very old-fashioned typing machine. And that took him a lot of time, very difficult for him, to do all his work. Well, there was in the house a new computer, that he could use, but he didn't use it. Why didn't he use it? Because he didn't know how to use it. He didn't have the knowledge to use it and to have the profit of this computer. So that's why he was struggling to do his work and to finish it. That's a sad thing. It was nearby and he couldn't use it because he had a lack of knowledge. Could that be the same with spiritual things? Could it be like that in our lives? When we are thinking about this great thing that happened in history, that the Lord Jesus ascended from the earth to heaven. What does it mean to you? Do you ever think about it? And is there any profit in it? Or maybe you are like that man having your struggle. Well, there is such a rich thing in Scripture, very clear, about the Lord Jesus who ascended to heaven and now is sitting at the right hand of the Father. It can be that we almost never think about the ascension of the Lord and that we do not know the profit of it. Do you know? Does it be a help to you in your spiritual life to know that the Lord Jesus ascended into heaven? I remember when I was in South Africa, there was a story about a preacher, and it showed how much the work that we did was necessary. The teaching at Makanyo was so important because there was such a lack of knowledge. But there was a preacher and he was preaching about the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he preached to his congregation that it was a very sad day. Because then the Lord Jesus left his disciples, left his church. And now they had to do without him. He didn't understand what the meaning was. And he didn't see and understand that there was a prophet in the ascension of the Lord Jesus to heaven. But do you? Do we? It can be that we also find it difficult. When we think about Christmas, we think, well, that's a wonderful thing. God is descending from heaven. And the eternal God became man to save man from sin. You could, as it were, see the little baby in the manger. And, you think this is wonderful. But now, when we think about the ascension of the Lord, and you cannot see him anymore. He left this earth. And what is the profit to you? Do you think about it? Or do you not see the prophet in the ascension of the Lord? And we have to admit that it is one of the most important things that happened in history. That the Lord Jesus resurrected from the grave and now is alive in heaven. He is not dead like Mohammed is dead or Buddha is dead, but he is living. He is there. We have a living Savior, a living King. And I think we can see that Satan also knows that the resurrection of the Lord Jesus is a very important thing in Scripture. We see that it is attacked in history, especially in the 19th century. It happened that a lot of theologians started to deny it. And they said, well, you know, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, that's not a fact that really happened. That's impossible. You can understand that. It's scientifically proved that it is impossible that someone who really died will rise from the dead. That's impossible. So that didn't happen. Yeah, you can believe it, but you have to understand that it was not a thing that happened. Huh? What do they mean? When they say, you can believe it and it can comfort you. Well, they teach that it is a thing like we see sometimes happening, that someone lost a beloved one and said, well, that person, oh, I lost her or I lost him, but he or she is still with me. Because in my memory and my remembrances, he or she is there. So that's the way that you have to understand the resurrection in Scripture. That's a false teaching that started to come into the church. The heresy. To take the prophet out of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And they say, well, it's something that was there in the mind of the disciples. They loved him so much that he was still with them in their mind and their hearts. But it didn't really happen in history. If that was true, then there was no living Savior in heaven. And then where should we receive the power to live a new life? It's not a new heresy. It was already there in the congregation of the Corinthians. Paul was writing about it. There were also false teachers that said, no, there is no resurrection of the body. And they were teaching that, and the congregation started to be confused. And that's why Paul was writing in this first letter to the Corinthians in chapter 15 about the resurrection of the body. And those false teachers, they were teaching that the resurrection that is spoken of is only a resurrection of the soul. They said, when you were born again, then you were resurrecting from spiritual death. And now there's no resurrection of the body. No, only of the soul. So they denied the resurrection of the body. Why did they do that? Well, they found it difficult. Because in that Greek old world, there was a teaching that evil was connected to the body. They were teaching the body is a hindrance. To be free is a hindrance for your soul to be free. The body is the thing that makes you to be caught in all the evil things of life. So the thing that we have to receive is to be free from the body, so that we can come to a higher level, can come to God. And so our soul will be free. And then the teaching of the gospel came that there is a resurrection of the body. And they couldn't accept it. And that made this false teaching in the days of the congregation of the Corinthians. And Paul saw the danger. And he is writing against it in a very strong way. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. In a certain way, he says, it's like with what sometimes happens to us, that you can receive a letter in the post with a promise that you will get a very large amount of money. But there are some small letters at the bottom of some thing written there, and then you can conclude, no, this is not certain, and at the end you receive nothing. Maybe that happens sometime to you. Or even when a shop is advertising things that you think, oh, this is great, and you start to buy it, and it seems it is a useless thing when you experience it and you try to use it. That can happen with things that we read here in this life. But this is not true with what is written about the resurrection of Christ. He really has been risen from the dead. Otherwise, our preaching would be vain, and your faith is also vain. So Paul says the resurrection of Christ is really the foundation of the preaching and of faith. That we know that he is living in heaven, he resurrected and he ascended and he is sitting there at the right hand of the Father. If that was not true, if it was only something in our mind, oh, then everything would be in vain. But it is true. He resurrected from the dead. Do you know the prophet in your personal life of the resurrection of the dead, of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus? What is the prophet? The Heidelberg Catechism is teaching about it, and it says there are three things in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The first thing is that he has overcome that he overcame death, is that he might make us partakers of that righteousness which he had purchased for us by his death. So we can say it's justification. That he is the one that can give us the forgiveness of sin. And the second thing is that he, by his power, raised us up to a new life. So that is sanctification. And the third thing is, lastly, the resurrection of Christ is a sure pledge of our blessed resurrection. So that is glorification. And all those three things come from the resurrection of Christ. He has been rising from the dead. And that is the reason that he can apply his work to us. I don't know. I hope and I pray that you learned by the Word and the Holy Spirit that you need it. That you need the Lord Jesus, not only that he died at the cross to pay with his death and his blood for your guilt, but also to apply it to your soul. And that's what Paul is writing in the letter to the Romans in chapter 4, where he is writing, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. So Christ died at the cross. And when he died, he cried, "It is finished." So he paid all that had to be paid for the guilt of his children, so that they would be free of guilt. But now that doesn't mean that nothing more had to happen. He paid the full price. He made a full satisfaction with his dying at the cross. But then it was necessary that he would rise from the grave and would be a living Savior to apply it to our hearts. I use that example one day already here in a sermon, that when we would be lost in the desert and very thirsty and almost dying, and we would find water, but it would be in a deep pit, and we do not have anything to get the water, we would still die. There's water. And we would shout for joy. But then we would see, well, I cannot get it. Well, that's the way we have to admit it is with the forgiveness of sin. Christ paid enough with his blood. But now how can I get it? My arms are too short. I cannot take it. I am too weak. I cannot make faith in my heart. I cannot change my heart. So how can I receive this rich work of his atonement in my soul to experience peace with God? Well, he resurrected from the dead to apply it for our justification. What a rich teaching. There is no one in the church here that has to be lost, because Christ is the one that has prepared the full salvation. It is not depending from us, but it is all in him. And all your weaknesses that you experience are not hindrances to be saved, because he has all the power. He is a living Savior. There in heaven he is sitting at the right hand of the Father. And he has the power to give you from his full satisfaction, so that your heart will be satisfied with peace. That you know, I am forgiven. Do you know it? Do you have that strong confidence, that strong trust in your soul? Oh, that's the work of the Lord Jesus, who resurrected and who ascended into heaven. And now he is the living one to give us everything that we need to be saved for eternity. Do you know it? Do you have that peace? Is there anybody in the church that has to say, well, no, my guilt is still open, unpaid for? Oh, that is the most awful thing that you can think about. Because that means if you would have to die, that you have to pay yourself, and you will never be able to do that. That means eternal punishment, eternal damnation. Oh, my heart is trembling when I'm thinking about it. And that while everything is there, everything is there, would you deny that? Is there anything lacking in the work of the Lord Jesus? Did he not pay enough? Is he not the living one? Is he not powerful to apply it to your soul? Is he not willing to do that? Is he not full of love? So why is that peace not in your heart? You say, well, you know, Pastor, God is sovereign. I know, but do not hide behind that truth. It's not given for that reason that you would hide behind it. No. No, the Lord is coming this evening, and he is calling you. Like he was calling Adam in paradise, where are you? So come. and show your guilt, admit it to the Lord how you are, what you've done. Young people, did you do that? How many years did you go to church? How many times did you hear this gospel? Did you come, children? You are not too young, too young. Really, really, you are not too young. And today is a day to receive that justification. He resurrected to apply it to your heart. So kneel down this day and plead and beg. And the Lord Jesus, He never sent anybody away that came in that way to Him. Can you give me an example in Scripture? Did He? No, He didn't. No. You would dishonor Him if you would say that. Oh, it's our heart that is so hard. But He is willing to soften it and to make you humble enough to come. He resurrected for our justification. So, it's all His work. And that's why He will receive all the glory. Did you ever think in that way about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus? That He is the living one? Oh, sometimes it can be so overwhelming strong, that thought. If you are meditating about it, Christ is alive. It's not only a thing in my mind, like someone is thinking about a beloved one that he lost, but He is really there. Sometimes I pray that He will embrace me with His gracious love. Oh, it's so full and wonderful to know Him as the living one. Our times and days that it can be dark, and that you can see so much your sin, and where would you go? No man can help you. But there is the Lord Jesus, who resurrected and ascended into heaven. And He is alive. He is really there. Although you cannot see Him, He has been rising from the dead, that He might make us partakers of that righteousness which He had purchased for us by His death. That's the reason for the resurrection. He might make us partakers. And the second thing that the Catechism is teaching us is that we are also by His power raised up to a new life. What does it mean to raise up to a new life? Did you ever hear what is written in the form of baptism of the children? There we see that the covenant is giving us the obligation that we might live in a new obedience. A new life has to do with that new obedience. A new life. In a certain way we have to say, well, when we do not know the Lord Jesus, then we do not know life. We do not know real life. We are spiritually dead. We don't have a connection to our Creator, to God. We live without God. The natural man does not understand the things of God. That's how we are from nature, without God. We live our own lives, and we are so used to live in the darkness of sin that we do not see that it is darkness until the Lord is opening our eyes. Then we see. And until the Lord is giving us grace, and then we know what it is to live. So by the Lord Jesus, who resurrected from the dead, and now is in heaven, we, if we know Him, we receive what we need to live a new life. From nature, we walk on this earth, we do our things, and physically we are alive, but spiritually we are dead. We do not love God. We do not see how much we need Him. We live our own life in our sinful desires, in our sinful pleasures. But then it is changing if we know the Lord Jesus. And that is not changing by our own strength. I hope that you see that and that you learn that by experience. And maybe you tried to change your life. You young people or children. I suppose there have been times in your life that you saw things were wrong in your life. I'll try to change it. I'll try to stop this thing. And then you experience that you couldn't live a life like you should live. And maybe you gave up and just said, well, it's impossible. But it is not impossible. It is impossible by your own strength. That is true. And even if you overcame a certain sin, then another sin came in from the other side in your life and heart. Now, in your own strength, you cannot live a new life, a life in new obedience. And if you experience that, you should not be desperate. You should not just give up and continue to live in your sins. But you should see by the light of the Spirit and the teaching of the Word that the Lord Jesus resurrected from the dead and that He is alive in heaven and that He is the one that is so willing to forgive all those sins that you have done so many days and hours and minutes. Oh, what a sinful life we live from nature. In our thoughts, in our words, how much we hurt others, we dishonor God in our deeds. Oh, we need His justification. I hope you know what it is, that all your sins are forgiven. But then there's also sanctification. And those two are not the same. And we should not mix them. Justification is the free forgiveness by the grace of the Lord. Without anything that I added. Without my performance. But by the work of the Lord Jesus. Given to a sinful man or woman. That the Lord is counting us righteous for what Christ did. When that happens, there is connected to justification, sanctification. We should not mix them, but you cannot separate them. They come together. When we know forgiveness of sin, the love of Christ, and the Spirit of Christ, He, the resurrected one, will change our lives. Maybe you struggle with that, with sanctification. Did you ever see the prophet of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus? Or are you like that man sitting in his house with his old-fashioned typing machine, struggling to do his work and without success? Well, there's that new computer. But he lacked the knowledge. You forgot to think about the fact of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and in a faithful way use it so that you would receive His strength in your heart and life? No, I'm not preaching that we will be without sin. I'm not preaching that we will be the way we should be. I'm not preaching that I am perfect, oh no, or that you will be perfect in this life. And that's a sad thing. That's such a sadness. That's such a sadness in my heart. Like you can read in the Catechism, or spoken about what is conversion. That is that you know sadness in your life, because of your sins that are still there. And that you know joy, because of the grace of Christ. So I have that sadness in my heart. You have it also. But do you also have that joy because of the grace of Christ? And do you know that He is the living one? And do you know that He is able? That He is so powerful and so willing to change things in your life that you are not able to change? Do you pray about that? Do you expect it from Him? Do you trust Him for your sanctification? Or maybe you think, well, now He has freely forgiven my sin, and now I should prove the Lord that I'm worthy. No, you are not. You cannot prove that. You cannot pay afterwards for what He was giving you by grace. So sanctification is also received by faith as a free gift of God. It is His gift, and He will receive all the glory. But it is there. Like the Catechism is teaching, that we are also by His power raised up to a new life. So that doesn't mean that we take a burden of the law upon our shoulders. No. His commandments are not a burden. It's a service of love. If the love of Christ is burning in your heart, then it's not a burden. If there's a boy who loves a girl, and he has to travel for an hour, and maybe without a car, in cold weather, he will do it. And he will not see it as a burden, because the love is burning in his heart. He will do it. He will enjoy to do it, because he loves her. You understand that? You love Christ so much that you receive what you need to live a new life. To leave that old life behind. That old self-centered life. And yet you live a new life where Christ is the center. Maybe sometimes people say, well, that has nothing to do with the law. But that's not true. When we look upon Christ to live a new life, when we see Him as the living Savior, to renew our hearts, we see someone who was perfectly obedient to the law of God. So there's no contradiction between looking upon Christ and being obedient to the law of God. It's going together. He was the one that kept the law of God because he loved his Father. And he did it perfectly, and we will never do. We are not able. Our faith is not perfect. Oh, we stumble so much. But still we know that He is alive. And every day when I struggle with it, I have to look upward and cry out for his help? And will he refuse it? He is alive. And he poured out the Holy Spirit. And he is sending it in the hearts of those that he is regenerating, that are born again. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit will never leave them. And that Holy Spirit is teaching and guiding them so that they live a new life. No longer with their back to God, but turned to live to God. Oh, what a joy. That's where I am created for, to live to God. Not that old self-centered, selfish life of darkness and sin. To glorify myself and to dishonor the Lord. But to live to God. To know Him. This is eternal life. Spiritual life. Real life. To know God. And to know Jesus Christ, who was sent by God. And who resurrected from the dead and now is alive in heaven. You know Him. Do you see Him now? Like He is showed in the Word of God as the living one. Oh, nothing in the world can be compared to Him. There's so much beauty in this living Lord. There is so much love in Him. Did you ever see that love of the Lord Jesus? Oh, then you will have a desire for that day that you will really see Him like He is. See His face. See His eyes. See His hands. So tender. So merciful. Like you have experienced so many times. When you were falling in sin and cried out, that He was lifting you up. And you saw no wrath in His eyes. But you saw His mercy. And oh, it made you to hate sin, isn't it? And to have more desire to live a new life. According to the will of God. To show the image of Christ. It's impossible in our own strength. If you try, even after you received grace, you will experience it. Sometimes you become so proud, that you try to stand on your own legs and think, now I can do it. Now I've learned my lesson. You become proud, and then you fall. And you have to admit, oh Lord, I cannot do it. I need the living Savior. I need His strength. Like He resurrected from the grave. He gave me life. To live a new life. So that I would no longer lay down in the grave of sin. In spiritual death. But rise from the dead. To live a new life. To walk with Him. Let us sing before we continue. Psalter 83, stanza 1 till 3, Psalter 83, stanza 1, how blessed is he whose trespass has freely been forgiven, whose sin is wholly covered before the sight of heaven. 83, stanza 1 till 3.
Thank you.
Is it your desire, congregation? Or would you only desire to enter heaven? Do you not have a desire to be free from the corruption of sin? Because you see how much it is dishonoring your Lord? Do you know that desire in your heart and life? You will, when you know the love of Christ. You see that sin is such a terrible thing because it dishonors the Lord, and you cannot have peace with sin. You will fight by faith against it to live a new life. Maybe you have your days that you are discouraged when you see how much sin is cleaving, sticking to your heart. And now what a comfort it is that we know that there is a future, that there will be no sin anymore, that we will rejoice in the full glory that the Lord Jesus has prepared in heaven for all his children, for all that came with all their sins and guilt to him to be saved by grace. Did you receive that profit from the knowledge of the resurrection of Christ? That's the third thing, the glorification. And that's a certain thing. Oh, yeah, Satan will try to make us doubt it, to discourage it, so that we feel miserable. And Paul says, if we only in this life were hoping in Christ, in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all of all men most miserable. You know, the joy of a Christian in this life has to do with that living expectation of the full experience of salvation in heaven. To sin no more. And to experience the fruits of and the results of sin no more in your life. It's such a comfort in your heart while you are on earth. But Satan will try to attack it, to make you doubt about it. Is it really true? Will I really one day enter that place of glory to be there near God, to see His glory, to enjoy it forever in a full measure? Is that true? Yes, it is. When we think about the resurrection of Christ, it is giving us a sure pledge, a sure pledge of our blessed resurrection. We will not stay in the grave when we will have been died, and when we will be laid in the grave, we will not stay there. Christ resurrected from the dead, and that's a sure pledge to us that there is a resurrection from the dead. Yeah, it's like you can see when you are married, you have this ring. I have one, you have one probably. The name of my wife is within. And every time I see this ring, I remember the love and the faithfulness of our marriage. It's remembering me. And now when we see the Lord Jesus, like he is shown to us in Scripture, as the one that's resurrected from the dead and ascended to heaven and is now in the full glory of his Father, that is true. Oh, it's like a sure pledge that it will happen to me. It happened to him. And by faith I belong to him. He is the head of the body. And by grace I am a member of the body. And someone said, if the head is above, the body cannot draw, cannot be drawn. You understand that? So I certainly will come there. He is already there. He is the firstborn of the dead. It is proved that there is a resurrection of the body. The Lord Jesus raised from the dead. And so it will be with me. I have that sure pledge. And every time I think about it, that he didn't stay in the grave, he resurrected. Oh, it's giving me that comfort that I, by faith, have that assurance that how it will happen to me. It happened to him. And now I'm sure it will happen to me. When I die, before the Lord Jesus will return, I will be laid in the earth, in the grave. But it's like the seed that is put in the ground. And there will come a new plant. In a new glory, so will it be with the body. It will rise by the power of Christ. And then from that day, I will give the Lord all the glory with my soul and with my body for all eternity. Did you think about that? Let us meditate more about this. We all know that we have to die. And it can make you scared. How powerful has death been in this world? From Adam till today, people die. How many have died already? Uncountable for us. But Jesus Christ overcame death. And now I have that sure pledge that death will not have the last saying for me. I will rise from the grave to be with Christ, to be like Christ, to be in a glorified body for all eternity with him. So what an encouragement it is. While we are still on earth and have that fight of faith, I hope you experience it, that the Lord Jesus is giving you the strength that you need, that you go from strength to strength, to receive the power you need to fight sin and Satan and the world and your flesh in the knowledge of faith that he has conquered, has victory over sin and death. So with a deep joy in your soul, we fight that fight against sin and Satan. And know that victory is sure, because Christ conquered death, and I in him. And one day I will experience it. Christ is alive. How many have experienced this? Are you doubting about this rich prophet, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus? How many testimonies are there in history? Oh, when you are discouraged, someone told me one day, he said, you have to read a book about how the Lord has worked in history in the church. And if I think about those in the Netherlands, in the war against Spain, 80 years, how many were burned for their faith, and there they were standing and singing psalms while they were in the fire. How much was the power of the Lord Jesus there with them, so that they could give a testimony while they were dying, burned to death. How many proofs are there in history that this is a truth, that Christ is alive, and that His power is received by faith to persevere and to receive the full salvation that is prepared, where the Lord is now in glory. One day, His whole church will be with Him for all eternity. Will you be there? Do you have that expectation? You can have a hard time in life, you can have a struggle, but it will be totally different if you have that faith, if you have that confidence in your soul, if you know Christ as the living one, if you know communion with Him, you know forgiveness of sin, and His power to live a new life. And if you see by faith that sure pledge that He is already there, one day I will be with Him in glory. Christ is alive. Mohammed is death. Buddha is dead. But Christ is alive. He is the only. He is the complete Savior. Oh, cry out to Him for everything that you need, and He will give you. Amen. Let us pray together and let us thank the Lord. O Lord, what a rich prophet is there in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus for our justification, for our sanctification, for our glorification. We can experience that there are in this life the weaknesses of our body, but then one day we will be perfect with body and soul to glorify Thee for all eternity. Oh, what a deep joy will it be when we come to that goal, that end that we are created for, to give Thee the glory. Like the saints in heaven are glorifying Thee with their souls already, and waiting for the day that they will do it with body and soul, that all what is in us may be to Thy glory. Thou art worthy to receive such a glory. Lord, we thank Thee for Thy word, apply it to our hearts. We pray to forgive everything that was not according to thine holy will in speaking and listening. Be with us, and we go on the road, keep us safe, and also during this night, that we may receive new strength to live this week a new life, receiving everything from our living Savior. Oh, that we may beg more and plead more to receive more. Forgive us all our sins, Lord. Be with us. We thank thee. Hear our prayer. For Christ's sake. Amen.